Okay, hi everyone. Me and my friend Munjid will speak to you tonight. We'll talk about the prisoners issue. Like this issue, it's hurt and affect 1 million Palestinian people from 67 until now. And that means it's affect each house in Palestine. If it's not once, it's twice in each house. And this is very, very important issue and very important case for you to know about. Now in the Israeli jail, there is 7,500 Palestinian prisoners. 340 are children under 18 years old. The children also stay in the same jails that the young people in Israel. There is no a special jail for children who is under 18 years old. In the Israeli law, the Palestinian child who is under 16 years old, not 18 years old. The Israeli child, he's under 18 years old. But the Palestinian child in the Israeli law, he's anyone who is under 16 years old. I want to talk a little bit about the situation of the young people. And most of the young people, like especially I want to talk about AIDA camp and our experience as children and young people in AIDA camp, and similar to all the refugees camp and most of the areas in Palestine. We grown up in this intifada, the second intifada, and we grown up under hard situation. And the only thing that we know, and we were all of us 13, 12, 14, 15, 16 years old when the intifada started. And the only thing that we grown up with is occupation, bullets, people killed, losing people from the family. Munjid, he lost his father in 2001. He's killed in front of all his brothers and sisters when they have breakfast. He received the bullets in his head inside the house. Majdi, he has four brothers arrested. Mira and his two brothers, they've been in the jail. Me and my brother, Dahoud, we've been in the jail. He spent 6 years in the jail. And he's been around 18 months in the jail. And also Marwan and everyone from my friend and most of the people in Palestine and AIDA camp, they have this kind of sad stories. We grown up in AIDA camp with this situation, and in the camp when we were children there is no anything to do in the camp because there is no facilities or at that time organization work for children and work for young people. That's just the only thing that we used to go to, not to have fun but to change the normal routine, the school. That's not really good schools, the United Nations schools. 2003, 2004. The wall and most of these action, it's starting that time. And the Israelis start also to arrest people and start to affect or to invade the cities. There is no real law for Israel and system to arrest people. Everything's done like by young soldiers and without any law or systems. I want to talk about my experience when the soldiers arrest me. Usually, the soldiers they didn't arrest people in Palestine in the daytime. They use the night time, especially after one morning. My story is, in the 19th of January 2006, at 3 morning, around 300 soldiers came to my house. And I was sleeping that time. And my father, he came to the house. And he asked me to wake up. And he was shouting, "Wake up, wake up, there's soldiers outside, they want you." I wake up, I was shocked, like, I don't get it. Soldiers, 300 and this stuff. And I looked from the window, I saw many soldiers with painting, black painting in their faces and shouting and put their guns, "Come, come," Labo both mean "come, come" in Hebrew, and screaming, shouting. I went outside of the house and it was the soldiers with M16s and there's lights on the M16s. I couldn't see the soldiers, but they talked to me and they said, throw your ID. I throw my ID to them and he looked at the ID and then he talked something to the soldiers and the soldiers catch me and they handcuffed me behind my back and my house on the second floor and they throw me from the floor to down and they put me downstairs and they blindfolded me and two soldiers, they catch me, and they start running. And that time, I couldn't run with them because I didn't see anything, my hands behind my back. And I felt three times on my face, it was my face, my hands, everything blood, because I felt, and they're running. When we reached the jeeps, we asked me to enter the jeep, and the jeep was very high. I told him that I cannot see anything to enter the jeep, and take the off, and I can't enter the jeep. He told me, okay, wait. And then four soldiers came, and they left me, and they throw me inside the jeep. They put me on the floor of the jeep, and I think around four soldiers. I don't count the legs, but it's around four soldiers. They put me on the floor, and they sit in the chairs, and all of them, they put their legs on me, and the M16s and the guns. In that time, I know some of the words in Hebrew, like shot or kill, because most of the soldiers, they use it. And they were talking, kill him, or scare him, or this things. The two soldiers, they put the M16 to my head, and they start talking. They start talking, shot or kill or something, these words. I don't know exactly what they're saying, but I imagine that they say, I want to kill him or I want to shoot him. I was really afraid. I told the soldiers, like, please take the M16, or I will start to do with my head like this. And one of the soldiers, they put his leg in my head, and I stopped moving. All of them, they pushed their legs, and they pushed me on the floor of the gym. And then they took me to Rachel Tom. It's a military area close to the camp. And they put me in the main road there. And in like 10 seconds, everyone left me. And they put me in the main road, and they left me for 5 minutes. I was thinking, why? What they do? Maybe they throw me in Bethlehem, and that's it. They throw me, and they want me to be away. But I know many of these stories. It's happened. And I thought that they want me to escape and to shoot me. I prefer to stand. After 5 to 10 minutes, Israeli military jeep came close to me and started to drive and to push me and fell down and stand up and push me and drive and stop close to me. Not to push me like hard, but push me to fall down. And they do it 3 or 4 times. And after that, the soldiers came, and they left me again, and they throw me inside the jeep. And then they took me to Gosh Atzion. They called Gosh Atzion. It's an interrogation center. And the first night, they put me in the isolation cell. Yeah, it's small, like 1 meter and a half by 1 meter, and it's really dark. They put me for... I don't know the time. How many hours were spent, but it was long time. Maybe 6 or 7 hours, but I feel it 2 days, because it's dark room, and if you put your finger like this, you cannot see anything. It's dark, really dark, and you cannot touch the walls because it's hurt you if you. And after maybe 6 or 7 hours, the soldiers came. We walked for 15 minutes, I don't know where. Then they put me in the office, and I waited in the office for around 30 minutes, something like that. And then two people came to the room, and they sit on the desk, and they ask the soldier to handcuff me in the chair. And... They handcuff me in the chair like this here, hand here, your leg here, your leg here, and you sit like this, and they start to ask me questions about my families, my sisters, who's they get married, how many children they have, many personal questions, friends, how many children they have, which cars they have. And lots of information. And then he started to ask me about things like, he told me that you were throwing stones. I say no. In the reality, I were throwing stones to the soldiers, something I proud with, because I was resist against the wall in the Ida camp and fight against the wall. I was throwing stones to the soldiers, if not every day, day after day. But I say no, I cannot say yes, because it's interrogation. And after that, he'd say, you don't throw stones, but I know that you throw stones, you throw cocktail, and you throw bomb hands, and you have guns, you have weapons, and lots of things. I start to think in my mind, and from where did he get, from where, and this all this? And he told me, you want to sign this paper. It says that all these things. I told him, I cannot sign it because I don't do it. He told me, look, if you'd sign it or don't sign it, we have Tamir Law. Tamir Law says, anyone, he's Palestinian, he say about you something that you do up against Israel or anything, they can judge you what the person say, not what you said or what you did, what you done. He told me that you have to say it, you have to say that. I told him no. They bring two people. I think they are like two buildings. It's big people. And they want to stand here and one stand there. He told me if you don't say if you didn't sign this paper and fingerprint and this paper, I will let them to beat you. But I will leave the room for a while and we'll return back. This band like negotiate me to sign this paper for 2 hours. And then they left and he asked the soldiers to make the handcuff down, to be like, that like this chair, it's more small like this chair, like this. And doesn't like, the chair is not like this, like this. Stay like this, the chair, and you sit like this. And they put your hands here and here, and legs there. And you feel like the banana. They make like banana. And they left me for 2 hours. After 2 hours, I cannot feel my body. I cannot feel my body, like I don't, like, and that time I say it's good. I don't feel my body. If I was thinking, well, not about the interrogation or something. When I don't feel my body, I was thinking in my mind, it's good. Because the two big people, if they beat me now, I don't feel. if they beat me, they don't feel. And then after 2 hours, they enter the room. And he told me, do you think about what we told you? I told him, yes. He said, what you say? I say, no, I couldn't do anything. He has a picture for Ida Cam and for Bethlehem, the Nativity Church, and the market, the central market in Bethlehem. And he told me, look at those two pictures. I looked at the two pictures. Do you know these places? I told him, yes, this is the Cam and this is Bethlehem. He told me, you will miss this areas for 5 years. I told him, why? He told me, I will let you stay in the jail for 5 years. If you didn't sign this paper. I told him I cannot sign this paper. And he slapped me. And then he asked the soldiers to they handcuffed me with the plastic. Plastic. The plastic, if you move, it's been like sham shit. Yeah. And they do it like, it's like I feel it's the plastic touch the bone. And he told me, you have to say now. After 1 hour, like I feel like in this time, after 1 hour, like beating and like playing with the handcuffs and these things, I was going to say, they stopped beating me in the moment that I decide to sign. Really, they stopped me in the moment that I decide to sign. And he started to negotiate me. He said, look, choose 4 of these things and that's it. And when we make a new paper, just choose 4. I don't want you to choose the 8. Choose 4 of them. What you want to choose, choose. And we will write it in paper, and that's it. And we will judge you for that. I told him, I cannot choose. Like if I say, I know if I say I have gun, I have to bring the gun. I told him. And I don't have gun. How I can bring you gun if I don't have it? And he say, no, just sign it. I don't will ask you for gun and anything. Just sign it, and that's it. We spend around, I don't know, but about 6 hours or 8 hours, I'm not sure. And then he said, look, I have friend, for your friend, he said that you do some of these things, and I can judge you by the law, by the emergency law and Tamir law, and put you in the jail for this reason. I told him, okay, if you have this law, okay, put me in the jail, and that's it. That then they send me to the rooms. Rooms with Palestinians. The room, it was around 4 meters by 4 meters, and we were 18 people inside the room. We used to sleep in the room like in our sides because there is no enough spaces for to sleep good. And in that time, the food they were giving us, this is the first meal I have it after 2 days. I didn't eat in the 2 days. It's just a little bit of water. And the first meal was rice, eggs, soup, and something, I don't know what it, but mixed with everything, mixed together. The eggs and the rice and the soup and everything mixed together. And they give us the food. All the prisoners, they've been before me like 9 days, 10 days. It was my first day in this room. And they asked me to eat. I told them I cannot eat. It's eggs, rice, and this stuff mixed together. How I can eat it? I told them I don't want to eat. I prefer to eat some bread or some and drink water. They were bringing some yogurt, like this. It's like small, more than the plastic cups that we have here. It's like half of the cup for each person in the breakfast. I used to eat a piece of bread and this yogurt and some salt to keep my stomach yeah, to keep my stomach good. I'll stay to eat just the yogurt and the bread for around 14, maybe 13, 16 days. I was 88 kilos. When I went to Aufer Jail, I was 74 in 16 days. They sent me to the jail after that. Before the jail, Aufer Jail, there is a court and it's police station. After you go out from the interrogation, there's a police station. You went to police, they take the 10 fingers prints. They take all the fingerprints and they ask you again the same questions, but they don't interrogate you. They ask you without interrogation. And then they send me to the jail. After a week in the jail, the soldier take me to the court. And I went to the court. I was happy to go to the court. I was very happy, smiling, and I don't see anything in the interrogation. I will release it. I thought that it's just bullshit, that what the interrogation was telling me about the laws and just to scare me to sign this paper. When I went to the court, I was happy. The lawyer, the Brasina lawyer came and he said, "You are Muhammad." I told him, "Yes." He was very happy. Brasina lawyer came to the court. Told me, "Look, what I will going to tell you, it will shock you, but you have to understand it very well. There is no justice in the court. It's a military court. There is no real court, but we can have deals in the court." I don't get it. The first time I heard about this thing, what mean deal? The thing that I know about court, the lawyer and people say what they do, and then they judge and this stuff. And I told him, "No, I heard some stories that Israel bring lawyers, Israeli as a lawyers to interrogate Palestinians." I was scared. I went to I asked him to change the date of the court, and I went to the jail again. After they changed it for 3 months, my family, they sent a lawyer to Aufer Jail, Palestinian, and he say, "I'm from your family side, and the lawyer that you met in the court, he's a Palestinian lawyer. And everything," and he explained a little bit about the court to me. When I went to the court after 3 months, and he told me, "Look, the deal is what we have. If you don't want to sign the paper and to say this, they will take 5 years. I remember what the interrogator told me. It will take 5 years. But if you sign this paper and stand in the court and to say to the judge that you do all these things, will give you 18 months. 18 months. I was thinking, like, he gave me like an hour to think about it, to think about that. But then I thought about it. They are in power. They can give me 5 years. I can stand in the court and say I do it. I can get 18 months. And it's better than 5 years. And I stand in the in the court, and he asked me, he started to say the 8 things that the interrogator interrogated me about. And he told me that, are you doing all these things? I was stopped for 10 seconds. And then the lawyer would say it. I say yes, I do all these things. And he told me, okay, sit down. I sit down, and then the lawyer came to me, and he told me, I can make it less for a year. There is a law in the court, they can give you 6 months, less than the judgment, if you stand in the court and say, I ask the mercy from the Israeli state. And that's something that's not acceptable. I told him, if you judge me now for 5 years, it's better than me to stand in the court to ask mercy. I never ask mercy from occupation. It's something I cannot ask mercy from occupation. I was a child, I was young in that time, but my national identity, my national belief, don't push me to say and to ask mercy of the occupation if they will kill me. That's my belief. And there is around 25 jails in Israel. 2 jails, Ofer and Nakab, is tents. And the biggest jail is Nakab jail, what's called Negev now, the area. It's the Negev desert in Hebrew. The Negev in Hebrew, and the original name is Nakab. And the jail is tents, and there's a wall like the apartheid wall around the tents, and you cannot see just the sky, and also the sky is covered by bins. What's this? I don't know how to say it now. You can see the sky, yeah. And everything the same color in the jail, like everything the same color, the tents, floor, the walls inside the tent, everything the same color. You see, if you stay for 1 year in a jail, in the neck of jail, and you go out the jail, you cannot look. First time that you go out to the jail, you cannot look. You close your eyes and start to open it like when you release it. Because you see only one color in the jail. And in the night, you cannot see the sky because light, there's a light, and you cannot look at the light because it's like hard light. Strong light, and you cannot look at the light. You just look the same color. And I want to, that's the jail in general and the food. I didn't want to make it long story, but I want to talk about other story by 2 minutes. Dawood, my brother, he was in the jail for 6 years. I didn't see him for 6 years. He was in Nakab jail. I was in Ofer jail. He arrested when he was 16 years old. I didn't see him for 6 years. When they came, the soldiers, to the Ofer, and they told me that you are going to Nakab. I was know that my brother, he's in Nakab. I was happy to meet him. And Marwan, he went with me in the same bus to Nakab. And that time I was all the time for 4 hours from Ofer to Nakab, thinking about how was my brother look like now, if I will remember him or not. And this is stuff. And we went to the jail. I stopped. Marwan, he asked me, why stop? I told him, look, if I enter the section now, and I didn't know my brother, I will destroy, I will die. Told me to think about something. I told him, look, I will make a problem with the soldiers now. And you will go to the section with the bags, to put the bags in the section, and to know who's my brother, and to come back, tell me, this is your brother. And I had a problem with the soldiers. Like, why you look at me like this? Don't push me. And we had a problem. They stopped me for 5 minutes. And Marwan, when he bought the bags, he know that the hood, he was wearing a green T-shirt. And he told me that he see him, but he cannot come back. The only way to come back to make other problem with the soldiers. And Marwan, he started to make another problem with the soldiers. They put us in a small room, and they beat us, and they take us. And the Marwan, he told me that your brother, he had like a green T-shirt. And I was happy, like, I know my brother now, I cannot... When the first time I entered the section, I saw him standing. I didn't really recognize his face. But I was looking at the T-shirt, not the face, to know to see the T-shirt. The first time I see him, really, I start to cry. I cried because, like, 6 years, I didn't see him. And I didn't know him, and the beautiful place that I met him. It's in the jail after six years. And I spent 4 months. And that wasn't for me anything. And for me, if it's something small, but for me, it's mean a lot. When I released from the jail, all the guys, they were all these guys, they were with me. And other, we've been 25 from Ida camp, from the same section. And all of us, we've been from the same class in the school. 25 from the same class in the school. And they spent all the night with me because it's my last time in the jail. And the door of the jail, it's you can see what's the outside. It's not... And I went out, and they was walking, and I say goodbye. And they opened the gate of the jail, the last gate of the jail, and they said the prisoners can see you. And all the guys were standing. And they opened the door, I went out, and I heard them one time, "How's the freedom?" Well, I looked, I stood like this. I don't look at them. But really, it shook me, like, how I feel now, happy, and how I left 25 part of my body inside the jail. It's affected me, really. I was crying. I was happy, but when they say it, I start to cry. I don't look at them. I don't answer them. I skipped. I start running to the jeep.